Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Samuel Winchester said, "Man is bound to worship God in every relation of life in which he may be placed. As an individual, it is his duty to observe secret prayer. As a member of a family, family prayer. As a member, pardon me, as a member of society, he should unite in the public worship of God in his sanctuary. And again, as the head of a family, he is required to lead its devotions, its worship. As a reasonable creature, he should frequent his closet to engage in the private duties of religion. As a social being, he should engage with others in acts of worship. Holy Father, God in heaven, Lord, we pray now that you would heal every Christian marriage and family, and heal every Christian marriage and family that's willing to confess their sins and repent and turn from their evil ways and seek your face and obey your holy word, the rules of the family in Ephesians chapter 5 and chapter 6, by your grace and by the power of your Holy Spirit and through prayer, help everybody to do what they are supposed to do. Husband and wife, father and mother and children. We pray, Lord, for the salvation of all families that don't know you as Savior. Forgive us of our sins as Christians of not witnessing to them, not obeying your great commission or your great commandment. We're not showing love for them. We're not praying for them, therefore, and we're not witnessing to them. And so many families are trying to do family life without you. And it is a tragic outcome. And so, Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would help us all to follow you and to obey you and to pray to you for the healing of Christian families and for the salvation of families that don't know you as Savior. And Lord, if we will not allow you to use us, we pray that you would raise up fresh laborers into the field of America, the white harvest fields of America, even from foreign countries, to come and be missionaries to us. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake, amen. Join me, ladies and gentlemen, in praying the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom. Pray aloud. And the power and the glory forever. Amen. back in the back over here and come in front of this. You need to move this over. Move this over and come in front of it. That's good right there. Okay, listen very carefully over there. Remember what happened yesterday. Today, we are reading one verse, I do believe, and this one addresses the parents and primarily the father. Verse 4 of Ephesians chapter 6. And ye fathers, God is addressing the fathers and of course the mother, but in the text it is directed to the father. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You don't have to worry about provoking your children to wrath if you truly love your children. If you love your children, there will never be a problem about provoking them to wrath. You will provoke them to wrath if you don't truly love them. And I don't know what that is like. There are parents who don't love their children, male and female, fathers and mothers, sad to say. And your children know whether or not you love them, even when you're rebuking them and getting on their case and chastising them and prodding them along in life. And what God wants you to do is bring them up in the nurture and admonition. And what that basically means is when they do evil, you pat them on the butt. I mean, that means you give them a whipping. Nurture means when they do good, you pat them on the back. Admonition, time for rebuke when they do evil. So you need to do both. And if you love them, you will do both. It's just in you. It's not anything that you make up or you manufacture. You know, it's not something you got to get up in the morning and say, I'm going to love my children today. This ought to be in you naturally. You ought to be, as one preacher titled one of his sermons, you ought to be naturally concerned. And this is such a powerful love and concern for your children that God does not even make you go to college for it or university. It ought to be in you. See, some of you people don't understand that God gives you instincts. You don't have to go to the university to learn how to be a father or a mother. It ought to be in you from day one. See, so naturally, by the grace of God, with the God kind of love, if you have natural affection for your children, you're going to whip them on the butt when they do evil, and you're going to, that's admonition, rebuke, and you're going to pat them on the back when they do good, designed to encourage them to do what? To keep on doing good. That's nurturing them. Loving on them, rewarding them when they do good. I cannot tell you how many reward dinners and special meals we've had down through the years because everybody did good on a project we were working on and it turned out to be successful. But there have been many times when everybody didn't do what they were supposed to do. And I said, no, you're going to have some beans and rice tonight. We're not going to celebrate. Even if we had some money. I said, no. Yeah. That's what we're going to have today. Some beans and rice. No pizza. Beans and rice. It's both and what has happened and what has hurt families so bad is this this crazy demonic philosophy in the world, in America, the American way. And it has seeped into the church. There's got to be, you know, your job is to make your children happy. That's a lot of hell. Happiness, as I've told you before, in children is overrated. That's not your job. Your job is to train your child to obey God, and then your child will be happy all of the time. Not based upon you taking them to Mickey D's. Not based upon whether or not you going to, some of you folks go to Chuck E. Cheese every week. Like you going to a McDonald's or something. That's ridiculous. Chuck E. Cheese was for birthdays only in my family. That's it. We didn't go to Chuck E. Cheese for nothing. Not to spend that kind of money. Some of you folks, your child wake up in the morning, I ain't got a Chuck E. Cheese. Then you go to Chuck E. Cheese because you want to keep them happy and quiet. That's ridiculous. We're going to Chuck E. Cheese. I'm going to buy some cheese and I'm going to chuck it at you. That's it. Yeah, you can have it. I'll give you a piece of cheese. No, your job, you think your job, you see, the American way has told you that your job is to make your children happy. No, no. Even my psychology teacher at Texas Wesleyan University taught that your job is to make your children lovable. Your children as they are, they're not lovable. They're lovable when they're little, 1 and 2 and 3 and 4, oh, how lovable they are. But when they get older, your job, he emphasized that. He must have been a Christian. And with a straight face, he did not play about this. A psychology teacher. Your job, parents, is to make your children lovable. If you give them everything and you constantly trying to make them happy, whoever they meet and God forbid getting married to, their job is going to be to try to keep them happy all the time. Do you know that's an impossible task for human beings? God didn't call you to make people happy. Only God can make folk happy. And that comes from loving God back, fearing God, obeying God. If you want to be consistently happy, cheerful, and joyful, you do that. Love God back. Be thankful to Him. Fear Him, that is, respect Him so much that you're going to be obedient to Him no matter how you feel or what you're tempted with. And you'll have peace that passeth all understanding and joy unspeakable. It's not just based upon your relationship with God. Your relationship, if you trusted Christ as Savior, is solid. But the fellowship is what's messed up. That's what's messed up right now. See, and see that transfers into the family as well. You people have been bamboozled. You have run amok, believing a lie. That just because he's my husband and so forth and he's my father, he's supposed to always let me have my way and give me what I want to make me happy. I don't know where in hell you got that lie from. Excuse me. Everybody who has common sense knows that's not what it's about. The relationship should be rock solid. I ain't going nowhere. But the fellowship is what's broken. We have husbands and fathers who have broken fellowship with Jesus. The relationship is intact. The fellowship is broken on purpose by Jesus because of the sin of the husband and the father. And the same thing with the husband and the wife. Since God does not want you to get a divorce, the relationship ought to be rock solid. Just like it is with Jesus and his people. But the fellowship might get broken if the wife is disobedient and rebellious as the devil towards the husband. But wait a minute. If the husband is disobedient to Jesus, then you reap what you sow, sir. The wife will be rebellious and stubborn and disobedient to you. And then you reap what you sow, ma'am. Your children will be disobedient and rebellious towards you. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man or woman soweth, that shall they also reap. And right now, some of us are reaping the whirlwind. You have sown the wind, bless your little heart, and now you're reaping the whirlwind. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, you are. And fathers, if you're evil as hell, if you're evil as the devil, mothers, if you're evil as the devil, got secret sin, don't be surprised if your children don't turn out worse than you. Mm-hmm. And then you're going to be sitting on the bed crying, I don't know what I did wrong with that child. Well, what about the adultery you were committing? That's why they're committing fornication. That's why she's pregnant by somebody she doesn't even know who it is. Sir, ma'am, don't bow your head yet. It's not time to pray. And I know some of you are saying, I can't stand him. He never has anything good to say to me. He does not prophesy good to me. That's not what we need right now. We need rebuke. We need chastisement. And that's what we're getting from God. How many of you got up this morning and said, I'm going to go to my favorite restaurant today, and you forgot about coronavirus, and you, shucks, I can't go nowhere. And by the way, all these people out in the street, where are the preachers at? Where are the pastors who can talk some sense into people? When somebody else commits evil, that does not mean you commit evil and then think everything is going to work out fine. And I know some of you are not going to like this, but those who burned down the police station and robbed Target and everything, I believe they all ought to go to jail. That's a different sin. That's a different crime. I don't care. What? And some cooler heads need to prevail in this situation. Where are the men of God in Minnesota, black and white? Why y'all not out in the street banding together, telling people, don't destroy your own community, your own Target, in the midst of a pandemic plague. Don't be stupid. Destroying your own Wendy's. You can't even get any fiery hot chicken pieces or whatever you call them. That don't make any sense. The police officer, he murdered that man. Come to find out this morning, they knew each other. And what he did was wicked as hell. And he ought to go to jail. Bad situation. However, just because other people do bad does not mean you ought to do bad. And by the way, these protesters seem like they forgot all about coronavirus that's going to kill everybody out there. Where are the men of God? Surely, you're not pastoring, you're not preaching anywhere at the church house. We know you're not at the church. So where are you? I guarantee you that little mayor up there would invite you and let you come on television and talk to the people. I guarantee you. And I guarantee you, if I was the mayor, you would not have burned down the police station. I can assure you that. Black, white, red, yellow, wrong, right, whatever. We no. You're not going to burn down the police station, baby. No, sir. If I was the mayor, that's right. But see, God didn't call me to do that, but if I was the mayor, You want to burn down McDonald's? That's you hurting yourself. You're not going to burn down city property like this right here, the police station. Man, that's millions of dollars, not only of the building but all the stuff on the inside. Are you crazy? And preachers, where are you? Are you praying? Are you still playing in Minnesota? I know there's some people of God up there in Minnesota. Anyway, I digress. Our devotional passage is Psalm 41, 1 through 4. Blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive. And he shall be blessed upon the earth. And thou wilt not deliver him unto the will of his enemies. So if I were you all, I would look out for the poor, try to help the poor, give some money to the poor. The Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of languishing. Thou wilt make all his bed in his sickness. I said, Lord, be merciful unto me. Heal my soul, for I have sinned against thee. How about you, dear Christian friend? Are you willing to pray that to God? Lord, be merciful unto me. Heal my soul, for I have sinned against thee. I believe there's a whole bunch of you all, based upon the past several weeks. Right now we have over 2,000, approaching 3,000 people on all platforms. I guarantee you, over half of you need to pray that prayer this morning. Lord, have mercy upon me and heal my soul, for I have sinned against thee. What a prayer. What a prayer. Pray it right now. Get your heart clean. Get your mind clean. Get your spirit clean. Get your soul cleansed. And there's nothing, don't go and sin with Bo Peep tonight. Don't sin with Sylvia tonight. I know you're thinking about it. I know you're tempted. We all are. But pray and ask God to give you a healthy fear of him and respect for him, that you will not do that, because that will take away that cleansing and that peace and that joy and that harmony that you feel in your soul with God. And there's nothing like that. Feeling guilty all day and sad and depressed because you did something in the flesh you had no business doing is not a good feeling. And all of you ought to say amen right where you are. And I thank God for all of you who you basically have a watch party. You got several people sitting on the couch with you in the living room listening right now at this crazy preacher. What did Dr. Matthew Henry say about it? He said, the people of God are not free from poverty, sickness, or outward affliction. But the Lord will consider their case and send due supplies. God has done it millions of times. He may not be in the sending business right now because of the chastisement he's putting on us right now that messes with everybody. Everybody is impacted. I have, for example, I have right up the street from me in the little town I live in, one of the rare restaurants in America that I love. And that my family and I, particularly when we're on the Daniel fast, we order from. Excellent restaurant. And I know they miss us. And they're open. But we would order lunch from them, and my soul. And let me tell you what kind of restaurant it is. It is a vegan, not vegetarian, vegan Mexican restaurant. And they make food so good that it'll make your tongue slap your brain, slap out of your head. Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. And I would like to order from them today. But I can't. I can't do it. They're open. They said, well, won't you just go ahead on? Not with the coronavirus out there. I can't do it. I have not, listen to me, I have not ordered anything from any restaurant. I would advise you not to do so. I know that's not what the American way wants me to say. I have not had Uber Eats or the other place, Eats, Grubhub, or nobody come to me. They send me all the notifications, and they want me to support the restaurants and keep them in business and all of that. No, sir. Ever since the coronavirus started, and watch this, my food would be here in 10 minutes. If I ordered it right now, not too far, right up the street from me, a rare restaurant. Most cities don't have a restaurant like this. A vegan Mexican restaurant. That's right down my alley. So everybody's impacted by this chastisement, this plague that we're under. From his Lord's example, the believer learns to consider his poor and afflicted brethren. This branch of godliness is usually recompensed with temporal blessings, but nothing is so distressing to the contrite believer as a fear or sense of the divine displeasure of God, or of sin in his heart. Sin is a sickness, or sin is the sickness of the soul. Pardoning mercy heals it. Renewing grace heals it. And for this spiritual healing, we should be more earnest than for bodily health. With that, ladies and gentlemen, join me in praying for all true believers in Christ, the remnant, God 7,000, the faithful few. And join me in praying for those who are out on the periphery who might be saved but barely, that they will come back in near the fire and get warmed up in the Lord. Join me in praying for government officials and ministers. Law enforcement, that's right. And thank God for some white law enforcement officers who today are condemning the foolishness of this one officer. And I don't know about the other three, but they ought to get something for watching and not saying anything. And not saying, man, I know you're a racist, but get on up off the man's neck, you know, pulling him off of him. You know, you got some issues or whatever, but you're doing wrong, man. Leave the man alone. Let the man live. They should have done something like that. Law enforcement officers. That's right. I still back the blue and the black. That's right. I'm for the blue and the black. That's right. You say, well, you ought to just be for the black. Black power. Black Lives Matter. Not me. Because I've had too many white officers show me too much favor down through the years. Because when they came and stopped me and in my car and came to my door window, I said, "Yes, sir, here's my stuff." And they said, "Thank you, sir. Let me just go ahead and do this right quick, and I'll just come back with a warning." And I gave them a gospel tract, and they said, "Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. I'm a Christian too." I've had too many experiences like that. So I'm for the blue and the black. I'm for the black and the blue. Whichever way you want to do it. Yes, sir. Uh-huh. Even at night, had somebody to stop me. I mean, they'd be just as nice as they want to be. And I had my stuff together and gave it to them. If I didn't have it together, something I was missing or whatever, I couldn't get my hands on something, and I didn't want to go searching for it, I said, "Sir, I'm sorry, I don't have it. I'm wrong. I'm wrong. Please forgive me." They'll go back to the car and come back and give me a warning because of my attitude, my spirit's out. Okay? And most of my experiences have been that way. In fact, I've only had one bad experience in my life. And I'm not going to hold that against all the other people. And nor should you. And don't get caught up in the okey-doke that politicians are perpetrating, black or white. You need to understand now, there are paid professional protesters who want to cause problems. Black and white. They get paid, they get new cell phones and all kinds of stuff. So I'm not saying that's the case up there in Minnesota, but probably is. Don't get caught up in the okey-doke. Don't get caught up in other people's mess. The police officer was wrong in this case, and the people out there looting their own area, and some of them don't even live in that area, they're wrong too. They all ought to go to jail. That's right. You commit the crime, you do the time, red, yellow, black, or white. Police officer or not. That's right. I'm for the black and the blue. I'm for the blue and the black. And most sheriff operations go by tan, brown. I'm for the tan, brown as well. I thank God for these people who risk their lives to save others. That's right. And I thank God. White. Leaders of police operations in major cities are condemning the murder, this police officer who murdered that black man. And that's what we need to see, and that's what we need to hear. But you're not going to hear that too much, because you know there are people who want to keep stuff pumped up. But that's what they're saying across this nation. Los Angeles, Nashville, white police officers are saying, "No, man, that man needs to be charged. And he needs to be convicted." White folks are saying it. So, no. Thank God for the good police officers. And in every situation, we got some bad. Bad politician. Everybody in politics is not bad. Bad pastors. Evil pastors. That's right. Evil military people. You got some. Evil police officers, you got some. But thank God for those who are good and who have been a blessing and a help. And when you called as a black person, four white officers came to deliver you from your predicament. Say amen. Say amen. Yes, sir. You know that's true. Okay, thank God for the the police officers and the sheriffs, deputy sheriffs. That's right, some white officers came and got a joke off your porch. A Negro that was threatening your life and your family. And they came and they got him and put handcuffs on him and took him away. And you're just as happy as you can be. And he's in jail right now. Don't forget that. Let's pray for the medical workers and the so-called essential workers. And by the way, let's stop all this clapping. I told you this before. The heck with that. Clapping for the medical workers. Let's stop all that and put some money in their hands. Buy them a new car. Put their children through college. The heck with the clapping. That means nothing to me. I hope it means something to them. It don't mean anything to me. I can care less about you clapping. I'm risking my life and I'm risking my family's life by doing this. And I don't even have the stuff I need. Get me the stuff I need. Put me and my fellow workers in a suite somewhere that you're not using, and you pay for it. Increase my pay 50%. Purchase me a new car debt-free. Make sure my children go to college free. That's all the clapping I need. And that's what I would like to see the people get. And I hope they're not forgotten. 1 Timothy chapter 2 verses 1 and 2 says, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. And by the way, you better pray that there's no race war. Don't listen to these people, both black and white, who are trying to get a race war going. You better pray that somebody with a cooler heads will stop that foolishness. Let's pray together. Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that you will help us who name the name of Christ, those of us who have believed on Christ and who are called by your name Christians. Help us to humble ourselves before you. Help us to pray. Help us to seek your face. Help us to turn from our wicked ways. And help us to get back to you, our first love. And Holy Father God, help us to be thankful for your right hand of blessing and provision down through the years. And we pray and we thank you for salvation, spiritual, family, life, health and strength, food and material blessings, and protection and provision down through the years. And Holy Father God, we pray that you continue to bless us in that way. For those of us who are willing to confess our sins, turn from our wicked ways and repent, and get back to you, our first love. Holy Father God, we pray for the salvation, for spiritual life, family, protection and provision blessings upon everybody who is a minister of yours in the government, from the president on down. And we pray for all governors, we pray for all mayors, we pray for all police chiefs, we pray for all sheriffs and all of their workers. And Lord, we pray for salvation, spiritual, family, life, protection, provision, blessings upon them. And we pray that you would give them wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and insight to serve you well in the government and to make the right decisions. And Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would cast out the devil and the demons of hell out of all of our government officials. Save their souls, open their blinded eyes, fill them with the power of your Holy Spirit. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem, and we pray for all other countries and government officials in those countries in the same way we pray for ours. We pray, Lord, for the healing and protection and deliverance of all Christians who are being persecuted by the hundreds in China, in Kenya, in Nigeria, Philippines, and other countries around the globe. Comfort them and be with them and deliver them and bless them as only you can. And Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, for the salvation of all people in this country, around the globe, and in the media. We pray, Lord, for the revival of all Christians in this country, around the globe, and in the media. And now, Lord, we pray for all people who are hurting today like never before. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the family members and friends of coronavirus victims, people who have died of this coronavirus. We pray, Lord, for the church family, Lord, of Massachusetts church member Donna Morrissey. We pray, Lord, for the family, friends, and church family of Kentucky church member Sammy Newson. We pray for the family and friends of Florida Dr. Eugene Safey. We pray for the family and friends of Pennsylvania security guard Abraham Emanuel Brown. We pray for the family and friends of Pennsylvania resident Vito Cosmo Jr. We pray for the family and friends of Massachusetts resident Mildred Porter. We pray for the family and friends of Massachusetts veteran Warren L. Henderson. We pray for the family and friends of Connecticut musician Sal Kopp Oszuka. We pray for the family and friends of Washington State grocer Sonny Quitlong. And we pray for the family and friends of Michigan resident Wayne Sternberg. We commit all of these souls into your hands. Let your will be done in their lives. And we pray that you would point all of these people to your Son, Jesus Christ, for salvation and comfort, and to your Holy Word for comfort. And we pray now, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for some people who have already, who have sent some prayer requests to us directly recently. We pray for Vicky. Please be with all families with disabled members during coronavirus. We pray for Dobson. Please provide him with the money and food he needs for the orphans and protect them all from the coronavirus. We pray for Nita, for Kerry to accept Jesus Christ as his Savior. Heal him of coronavirus as well. We pray for Vicky. Bestow wisdom, strength, understanding, and obedience upon all government and ministry leaders. Bless and protect Pastor Evans, his family, the church and medical team. Heal Ambar completely and give her relief. Please open ears and hearts to the truth of the gospel in this time and for this time of desperation, to lead people to Jesus Christ. Open hearts to give to Joshua's ministry as well. Protect Joshua, his family, all the people who Critical Support Services is reaching, and all first responders. Protect all people from coronavirus who have not been affected, and give quick and strong recovery to those who have been diagnosed. We pray for Paul. Please provide for him, his family, and his ministry. Protect them from the coronavirus and bless them with the supplies they need to help the people around them. Provide all people in Bangladesh with the necessities they need and stop the coronavirus from spreading in Bangladesh. Holy Father God, we commit all of these souls into your hands. Let your will be done in their lives and in ours. And we pray now for all of the people who have believed on you through the preaching of this ministry. And we pray that you'll help them to grow in the faith and to stand strong in the faith. Lord, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for Jacoby, Sophia, Santiago, Amina, Ralph, Emmanuel, and Joe. And Lord, we also pray for those who have recommitted their lives to you. We pray for Megan, Christine, Frederick, Anthony, Jay Baptiste, Jonah, Aletta, and hundreds of others. We commit these souls into your hands. Let your will be done in their lives. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. Beloved, our devotional reading today is titled, What Drives You? Part 7, From the Purpose-Driven Life, by Dr. Rick Warren. Dr. Rick Warren says, knowing your purpose simplifies your life. Knowing your purpose simplifies your life. Ask yourself right now, what is your purpose in life? It defines what you do and what you don't do, and what you should do. Your purpose becomes the standard you use to evaluate which activities are essential and which aren't. You simply ask, does this activity help me fulfill one of God's purposes for my life? Without a clear purpose, you have no foundation on which you base decisions, allocate your time, and use your resources. You will tend to make choices based on circumstances, pressures, and may I add, bills that you have created, which maybe God didn't want you to create, debts that you owe now that you probably should not owe, which will lock you in from fulfilling your purpose in life, God's purpose for your life, and your mood at that moment. People who don't know their purpose try to do too much, and that causes stress, fatigue, and conflict. It is impossible to do everything people want you to do. You have just enough time to do God's will. If you can't get it all done, it means you're trying to do more than God intended for you to do, or possibly that you're watching too much television. Purpose-driven living leads to a simpler lifestyle. Allow me to repeat that in your hearing. Purpose-driven living leads to a simpler lifestyle and a saner schedule, not a complicated life and a convoluted life and a confused life. The Bible says a pretentious, showy life is an empty life. A plain and simple life is a full life. It also leads to peace of mind, peace in your spirit, peace in your heart, peace in your soul. You, Lord, give perfect peace to those who keep their purpose firm and put their trust in you. That's another translation other than the King James. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you so much for our time together today. And Lord, help everybody to leave here today with a mind to that is stayed on you. Keep them therefore in perfect peace indeed. And Lord, help every child of God, every born-again Christian, to pray without ceasing, to take every opportunity to witness to somebody else today, to be an encouragement to others. And Lord, on this Friday of so-called reopening and Saturday and Sunday, Lord, help everybody to be prayerful, sober-minded, vigilant, and watchful, and not yield to the temptations the devil is putting on them and mess their lives up worse than what they are. And help everybody to stay in, unless it's absolutely necessary, and to walk in peace and joy and harmony in their own home, and to accomplish great things from and in their own home, for your glory, your praise, and honor, and to pray without ceasing throughout this day. Help them to set an hourly, top-of-the-hour alarm through their phone, through Alexa, through some other device, some chime, a prayer chime, a prayer bell, to remind them to whisper a prayer. Help them to remember that even praying the Lord's Prayer takes less than a minute. Lord, this is a wonderful way to pray without ceasing until they learn how to pray, being prompted by your Holy Spirit, when they don't need a chime. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, dear friend, if you are with us today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." The Holy Bible makes it very clear in Romans 10:9-13, that if you shall confess with thy mouth, your mouth, the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart, your heart, that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So, dear friend, just acknowledge and admit that you're a sinner in need of a Savior. For the Bible says we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. One day your body will go to a grave. Your soul will go to eternal death in that awful place called hell, where Jesus said there's weeping and gnashing of teeth going on right now. You need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and get your soul saved from hell. The Bible says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shalt be saved." Are you willing to humble yourself and to acknowledge that you are a sinner in need of a Savior to save you from hell? Are you willing to believe on that Savior, Jesus Christ, when he said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish," that is, perish in hell, "but have everlasting life." That's everlasting life in heaven, with God, with Jesus, with the angels, and with the people of God. So, dear friend, if you're willing to believe in your heart that Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried and rose on the third day, I'm willing to pray with you and lead you in what is called the sinner's prayer. Repeat after me and mean it from your heart. Phrase by phrase, repeat after me and mean it from your heart. As you believe in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have done evil in your sight. In fact, Lord, I have broken your Ten Commandments. I have lied before. I've stolen things before. I have coveted and lusted in my heart at people and things before. I have dishonored and disobeyed and disrespected my parents. I have taken your holy name in vain. For Jesus Christ's sake, please have mercy and grace upon my soul. And please forgive me of all of my sins. Because I know because of my sins I deserve to go to hell. But I believe with all of my heart on your holy Son, Jesus Christ. Please have mercy upon my soul and save me from an eternal hell. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and into my spirit and save my eternal soul. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. And help me to repent of my sins past. Help me to turn from my evil life and to follow you in the new life. Lord Jesus, for it is in your name I pray. Amen. Dear friend of mine, if you just trusted Jesus Christ, if you just believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you prayed that prayer and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God, the Holy Bible, which we just shared with you, you are now saved from hell and you are on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God, dear friend. I want to congratulate you on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information, to help you grow in the faith and to become the strong Christian that God wants you to be, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and download my book titled What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Free of charge. Download it free of charge on whatever device you need to use. For Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Until next time, my brethren and my sistren, may the Lord bless you and keep you is my prayer.